The General Services Administration is signing short-term real estate leases before some of its contracts expire. The Washington Business Journal reports that that will help GSA avoid paying higher prices to renew deals after they run out. But it also means the General Services Administration's locking itself into other deals. That's a long-term problem because they're supposed to be shrinking their real estate portfolio. Joe Brennan's managing director of JLL Government Investor Services Group and my guest on Industry Chatter today and looking at the future of federal real estate. Joe, thank you very much for coming in. It's great to have you on the program.
Great, Francis. Glad to be here.
You've been on before. This is your first time in the studio, so welcome to our real estate.
Thank you.
You and your company looking at this issue of these expiring leases that the GSA mm-hmm. is dealing with and the agencies are dealing with. What are the problems, the issues that you see as you look at this, and what does it mean to the government in terms of locking them into spaces that maybe they might not wind up wanting to be in the future?
Sure. The hardest part is really been driven from the top. It starts with the Congress. And when we've had a Congress that's really had a difficult time picking a direction, and they really need to, the guidance needs to start with the Congress, and where are the initiatives that are going to move forward? Are we going to focus on health care or completing Dodd-Frank or whatever it may be? Mm-hmm. And once that legislation is then in place, then the executive branch operations can then, you know, focus and move forward. GSA implements that. Right now, we've had a really tough time in D.C., and it's filtered down from the real estate to the defense contractors and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer really is, do you have a budget or do you not have a budget?
Right.
And for a very long time, we've been operating under CRs with no real direction and a bit rudderless. And that's been the major sort of impact on the stagnation with the GSA and their leasing.
So even though we're not quite sure what happens October 1, 2015, at least the fact that we have the certainty through the end of this fiscal year is helpful, I guess.
Well, I mean, what you've now got, though, is this last election where you've got now an alignment in the House and the Senate. Those folks are going to come together and give the president some real choices. You've had this so-called cromnibus budget that was just put in place at $1.1 trillion, which in effect funds the government through next year, through the next fiscal year. The one group that we can talk about this a little bit is the Department of Homeland Security has been sort of pushed off to the side for a moment or two, so mm-hmm. their funding is only going to run through the end of February. But this is a great start.
You've got a graphic here in this research that you've done, Federal Perspective Report for 2015,
uh-huh.
and it is titled GSA Holdovers Down 66.7%. What's a holdover in a real estate term?
the fundamental bargain in a lease is there's term associated with that lease, and ultimately in leasing, what those terms give you the ability to finance the real estate. These real estate office buildings, in one hand, they're real estate, but generally they're financial vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
What the government has the ability to do and has done sort of lately is hold over. When their lease obligation is up, they'll stay in the buildings occasionally on a month-to-month term, which is obviously a position that is unfinanceable,
mm-hmm.
which is very difficult. The leadership at GSA has been actually pretty good. They've pushed forward to try to get out of those holder situations. The first step has been to do shorter term leases,
mm-hmm.
1 year leases, 2 year leases. That's a start, but those aren't quite financeable. But it's a start.
So let's pull back for a minute and talk to folks who maybe are not real estate experts. And I know a little bit about what you're talking mm-hmm. about. So tell me if I misspeak.
Sure.
When you talk about something being financeable, that's the concept that a developer goes to a finance company, bank, or whoever's going to work with
sure.
them, and says, "We have this potential footprint. If they're going to build it to spec, which means they're building something that they don't have a tenant already mm-hmm. lined up for, they're going to say, this is our potential client base. These are the people, the kinds of tenants that we're going to try to bring into this.
Sure.
This is what we expect to be able to lease it for." And essentially, they're doing the potential ROI to demonstrate why they should get financing.
Mm-hmm.
Am I on
mm-hmm.
the right track so
you
far?
You are on the right track.
Okay.
And ultimately, what you want is those tenants provide those cash flow streams that support the building.
Yes.
The challenge with a holdover is a 30-day period is not a financeable cash flow stream.
Mm-hmm.
What you're generally looking for is somewhere in the 10-year range. 120 months is really sort of, then you can sort of put a loan to that to yep. the cash flow stream.
Yes, and the person the organization you're paying the note back to has confidence that you're going to be able to make that payment for whatever the period
exactly.
of time is.
Exactly.
All right, so it makes it more understandable mm-hmm. as to why you can portray that as just an investment vehicle
exactly.
Rather than necessarily just a real estate transaction. Mm-hmm. All right, so the fact that these holdovers are down to the extent that they're down is what makes this a problem, at least right now, for the real estate investment community, because that certainty, just as it's not there for the agencies, it's
right.
not there for them either. Is it gumming up the works now as far as the ability to either redevelop or develop new projects?
Absolutely. And what I would say is that it has been more troublesome in the last year. It's getting better. Again, this move towards shorter term leases is better for the industry. What it shows is it shows progress.
Mm-hmm.
And the next leap and the Hill and the leadership at GSA has looked to the folks who implement these things and have said, my gosh, this is a great opportunity for you to be a buyer, to lease more space, to mm-hmm. lease it for longer periods of time, which is good news for the markets. The next step, though, is just to go from sort of the idea to actually implementing that.
Is just the general idea and the general understanding that there is this certainty for the fiscal year
right.
good enough for a lot of the lenders, or are they still a little apprehensive given the track record of Congress over the past couple of years?
It
would be nice to see the logjam break, but if I'm them, I can understand why, if that's who we're relying on, we might not be as positive as we could
be. Absolutely. Not quite good enough yet. What we need is we need to see some real action, but we're optimistic.
How is this is the effort of the federal government to freeze its footprint affecting the market? What does that mean for the landlords that have tenants now, and what does that mean for the landlords who are trying to attract those tenants to empty spaces that they have?
There are a couple of things. I think the most important thing is, as taxpayers, we should applaud that. I mean, the federal government is looking to itself to say, okay, how do we do a better job? How do we get to be sort of more efficient at sort of what we do in this expensive real estate footprint we have? So that's the basic level. The next sort of piece is it'll create lots of opportunity, because what'll happen is, as they sort of reduce their footprint, it'll change the way they use space, which means they're going to relocate from other from existing buildings. In a lot of cases, where in the past has been, the incumbent has always had a great advantage, where generally what the General Services Administration would do is to renew and stay.
Mm-hmm.
Now what they're going to do is change that footprint, and I think you'll see these deals get smaller, 20 to 30% smaller,
mm-hmm.
but actually come to the market. And so what you'll have is an opportunity for new landlords to become incumbents. So.
Is there much of a situation where the GSA or the agency will go to the landlord and say, we may take this to market unless you're able to do what the market is generally offering us right now, and then the incumbent can stay the incumbent? I would imagine in this market there's a lot of incentive for that if those opportunities present themselves.
This is where the marketplace is a thing of beauty. I mean, you know, if a landlord believes he can get higher rents, very often he'll look at the GSA and say, gosh, we would love to have you pay higher market rents that maybe a law firm would pay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't, then, you know, good luck in the marketplace.
Yeah.
But there are also landlords who are happy to try to keep those good GSA folks in their building. It's the market dictates.
You know you're going to get the check every month. That's the good part about having that government client,
well,
right?
To the point that this is an exercise in finance that you got to love the government credit rating.
Yeah, Joe Brennan of JLL is my guest on Industry Chatter today. JLL releasing the Federal Perspective Report for 2015. We'll put a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth and more with Joe when we come back. It's Industry Chatter on Thursdays on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. Joe Brennan, my guest on Industry Chatter today. He's the managing director of JLL Government Investor Services Group, and JLL just releasing their Federal Perspective Report for 2015. You can find a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We've spoken a little bit about the federal market. When I think of the federal market, maybe I'm not doing it according to the definitions of the real estate market, but I think about the agencies themselves.
Right.
Obviously, there is a point of inflection here for the contractors that serve the government,
sure.
Law firms that do business with mm-hmm. both sides, and so on. There are a lot of ripple effects here. How does the what I call the 66 corridor market, but sure. the whole Northern Virginia federal contractor market, how does that look compared to what we're seeing in the agency market, the federal space that's primarily focused downtown, not exclusively, but primarily
mm-hmm.
there?
Mm-hmm. It all starts from the federal government, the industry, if you will, for D.C. We don't make a lot of stuff here, but the industry for D.C. is and we can call it lots of things, but that's what gets cranked out of the federal government, and mm-hmm. that legislative direction sort of allows the defense contractors to decide, are they, you know, is, you know, what business is the Air Force in? Are they in the business of outer space? Are they in the business of airplanes? Are they in the business of satellites? And so on and so on. You see federal contractors who in effect are the implementers for those federal agencies. And when there's uncertainty on the Hill and there's uncertainty in the White House and there's uncertainty in that legislation, they're stuck as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the ripple effect around town, whether it's a law firm or a defense contractor, is exactly the same thing.
Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit during mm-hmm. the break, and my takeaway from what we discussed there is that the issue one, the most yep. important thing, whether you're an agency, a contractor, whatever you are, yep. is gaining some level of certainty. Am I assessing that correctly?
Absolutely. And the roadmap to that certainty is a federal budget.
Mm-hmm.
This Cromnibus budget we just saw come out is as close as we've been in a very, very long time. But that sort of nature of all of the players in Washington to follow the money, if mm-hmm. you will, that's the key to success, is to follow that money. And that ability to look forward is what that budget gives you, a continuing resolution, and the series of CRs that we've had forces you to look behind you, and mm-hmm. that you can't run your business looking backwards.
Yeah. We spoke in the first part of our conversation, Joe, about the fact that lenders are not quite convinced yet. Will it take another year, another 2 years? How long till lenders can be confident that the system is not working the way that the system has worked for the past half decade or decade, and they can look at the government market with more certainty, thereby creating it for the potential tenants too?
The great news is the real estate community are all optimists. So it's deal by deal by deal. And uh-huh. as the first good deal comes to the market that looks solid, that gives a solid term, and it's starting. I mean, we're seeing that now, and we're seeing those real reductions, again, 20 to 30% reductions, but they're coming to the marketplace. The deals are getting struck. So that's really where the market can look into the marketplace and say, okay, I've seen this deal. It's working. It's moving forward, and makes sense. Now, there are going to be some others that will out there that will be, you know, big ideas that mm-hmm. may never happen, and we see a few of those in the marketplace now, or may take a very long time to happen. But we're all optimists, and we're looking sort of at the answers that are right in front of us, and we see a few of them, frankly.
Is it or was it a domino effect that kind of got the gears turning for everybody? For maybe somebody, you know, one of the outliers said, "I want to do that deal," and folks said, maybe it's okay to get started again. Is that how it works?
It's a little bit of both, mm-hmm. And backlogs obviously take a long time to work out. But again, I would say, it's difficult for the implementers, who are the particularly the folks at the GSA, to be able to decide, I need to extend this lease for 10 years for, you know, name the agency, doesn't really matter, if I don't have a budget that tells me the IRS or the Department of Homeland Security, whoever it is going to be funded for a long period of time. You're asking me to make a long-term commitment,
mm-hmm.
and then I've only got a short-term commitment on my funding.
Yeah, that makes sense. I want to cite a couple of numbers from sure. your Federal Perspective Report, and we have a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. This says nationally 99.7 million square feet of GSA leases will expire in the next 5 years. That's more than half of their leased portfolio. 33.2 just in the National Capital Region, 58% of the region's entire GSA lease inventory expire in the next 5 years. And then in the next 12 months, 1 year, 10 million square feet, 17% of GSA's leasing portfolio in the region will expire. With the agencies continuing to downsize, and with a reasonable expectation, I think,
mm-hmm.
that the corresponding associated businesses,
right.
law firms and contractors, as we've discussed, also probably headed in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the leasing market looks like in D.C. overall in the next 5 to 10 years if these leases come up and they're smaller? You mentioned the number 20 to 30% in
sure.
the first part of our conversation. What is the vacancy rate now? I'm sorry to ask you off the top of your head, but I imagine it's in the 8 to 10% range is what I see historically.
A little bit higher in DC, but that's the plan. The real sort of issue is not to focus on sort of the real estate itself, because it's really about a larger issue. It's really about sort of the work and the direction. If again, we applaud the austerity that's in place with federal real estate and others. What we really need, again, it's back to that direction. Are we going to spend more money? We see, obviously, big Intel spending. Cyber has been the buzzword for the last, you know, 2 or 3 years. But it's again, what happens with Dodd-Frank? Does it, in fact, get funded? Do we really see you know, growth that will happen across, frankly, a number of agencies if that happens? Same thing with, you know, will Obamacare sort of move forward or not? Because what really will happen is if we see these agencies become more efficient, that's a good thing. And then we'll also be able to see what really the most important thing is right now: an alignment in the House, an alignment in the Senate, some real choices and some real direction coming out of the federal government. And again, this Cromnibus budget is great. We're really hoping for a long-term budget next year, and that's really going to be something that'll be a great thing for D.C.
What kind of timeline does the business work under? For example, let's say we get to March, April. We have a request from the White House. We have discussion, at least, that maybe looks like it's positive. I mean, and this is all a theory, but we get to that period of time, and House and Senate are already talking about getting bills marked up and going to conference. By summer, we're in conference. How long till we see more tractors and cranes downtown actually pushing dirt around and putting up steel?
You know, I think it's the nice thing about it is it's more micro than that.
Okay.
There'll be approvals for what they call prospectus level leases that'll come out, which are the larger leases, and they happen piecemeal. And so when an agency needs to grow and get their lease figured out, they'll go to GSA and OMB, and then they'll go to the Hill and get that authorization. So the good news is when that starts to flow, and why is that going to flow sort of better? Because there's agreement in the House, there's agreement in the Senate. These guys are actually getting sort of work done as opposed to not getting anything done.
Does it help the federal government that money's still so cheap? Does that help on the financing end then passes through to the eventual tenant?
Francis, that's one of the great opportunities is when the leadership in the Hill has looked at GSA, and the GSA leadership has looked at their folks and said, this is a great time. The markets are soft. The debt markets are as low as we've ever seen them. So it's an unbelievable time to be a buyer, if you will, and that's what the GSA would be as a leaser of space. So it's a wonderful time for them to be out there and changing the way they do business from the standpoint of real estate. But it's a great time to be a buyer.
I really appreciate the conversation. There's a lot more we could get into. Would love to have you come back at some point and just continue this, because I think the space concept is something that agencies are starting to pay a lot more attention to, especially in the CFO's offices. And would love to continue to get your input.
Great. Now this will be interesting to see. And the wonderful sort of change here is it about real estate or is it about the work that actually needs to get accomplished? And a lot of interesting sort of paths to go down.